I Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared, an iHeartRadio podcast.
Hello, hello. Thank you so much for joining us on another episode of Help, I Suck at Dating. My name's Dean Unglert, and I am alone without my co-host today in studio. Of course, joined in studio by the producers, Mark, Easton, our lovely Tori. Danielle is over there without a microphone. I don't know if she's going to be tuning in at all. But we've got a very special episode for you guys this week. Obviously, we have Bachelor in Paradise airing. Obviously, I am on that show, so we might as well talk a little bit about that. Tori, who always has the most interesting dating dilemmas, I don't know exactly why, but we're going to dive into your dating life a little bit. Not why we're going to dive into, but why you always have the most interesting dating dilemmas.
I don't think it's very interesting. I think you make them interesting because you always think, you're not on a date and you suck at dating.
I think you just overthink everything. Anyways, I'm excited to dive into that a little bit with you later on. We might call Jared, who's on his honeymoon somewhere in Greece, but we probably won't be able to.
I'm told that may not be happening because he's on a plane right now.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So he might not land in time.
Where's Vanessa?
Where is Vanessa, Romo?
Actually.
The MIA.
Silver Fox?
Not sure. She's in the Silver Fox.
I did see that they attended a wedding.
Oh,
so maybe they're on a plane,
Vanessa
too.
Vanessa was looking amazing at that wedding, too. Anyways,
speaking of looking amazing, I just have to say, Dean, that I'm critical of your appearance sometimes.
All the time.
I didn't like...
To be honest, dude.
It's working today. It's
Thank you.
Dean's got a... What kind of hat is that? What would you call that?
It's a bucket hat, I would suppose, right?
Like an Outback hat.
Yeah.
Kind of like an Outback hat. Yeah, it's got the rim all the way around. Mm-hmm. I need something like that for hiking. Anyway, he's got longer hair. Mm-hmm. That looks good. He's got a tan going on. He's clean shaven. It's working for me, and I think the viewers of the Bachelor in Paradise reunion are in for a real treat.
Yes, so I just got back from Croatia, so I'm sporting a nice bronze tan and clean shaven. We actually have we're filming our Bachelor in Paradise reunion show, and so I wanted to go in with like a clean shaven look. I'm pretty fortunate to just have gotten back from Croatia and be nice and tan. I have not bought an outfit yet. My car picks me up in about 3 hours, and sorry, JoJo just attracted me over there. Car picks me up in about 3 hours after I get off of this podcast. I haven't even gone to the store to buy anything because I don't own dress clothes, which is what you're supposed to be wearing at these reunions, right?
What have you worn to previous reunions?
Like suits and dress shirts.
But you don't own a suit anymore?
No, I threw them all away when I moved into a van.
Oh, sure.
Why would I keep those
Silly
things?
Me.
So this is my plan. And let me question the ethics on this because this is what I'm going to do. Whether it's ethical or unethical, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go to Nordstrom. Buy a nice suit, a nice shirt, buy a nice bow tie, maybe wear a bolo tie. I don't know exactly yet. Keep the tags on, wear it, and then just return it the next day.
I don't think that is ethical.
Is that really unethical?
I think that's bad. I think that's borderline theft.
No way.
You're definitely not the first person to have ever done that, though.
I've done it before.
Yeah, I've done it before, too.
Yeah. Maybe we haven't talked about it publicly on podcasts, but...
I don't know. I don't love it. I feel like, plus you're using it on television. That's an extra level of theft, I think.
So I've done it before for a reunion show. I think for the Winter Games reunion, I bought a $900 suit jacket. Which, what the heck do I need a $900 suit jacket for? So I wore it. It looked amazing. I brought it back to the same Nordstrom, and I was so scared that they were going to like recognize me and be like, wait a second. We know what you're doing right now.
But a jacket, how do they police that? Because a jacket's not going to get all sweaty necessarily. You've got a shirt on in between and possibly even an undershirt.
Right. So why does that become unethical then? To wear the jacket when it's just going to be dry cleaned and put right back up on. That's the one. Tori just pulled it up.
That's a rental, huh?
No.
The American tie.
The quote unquote rental. It was a bachelor.
American.
Yeah, because we were. Oh. It was like the Olympics theme.
Got it.
Easton?
When you were doing the was this men tell all from Rachel Lindsay's season?
Yes.
That's a Ryan Seacrest distinction jacket,
yes.
Isn't it? The
so
camo
for,
one?
For the men tell all, I wore a Ryan Seacrest distinction jacket, and that was a hit. I remember he gave me two jackets. Well, Amy through him gave me two jackets, right? One of them was like this like pretty plain gray with like a black lapel. And then there was this camo one, which who's not going to wear the camo? Like, obviously, the camo one's a little bit more out there.
It's badass, man.
And I took a poll on my Twitter. I was like, which one of these jackets should I wear? And by a landslide, the gray one won. It was like not even like 95% to 5% the gray jacket won. And I was like, okay, obviously, I'm going to wear the one that didn't win the poll. And I really appreciated the look. I thought it looked good. What are we talking about?
Well, to be honest, when you said that you're going to record for Bachelor in Paradise, the reunion, my stomach turned.
Why? Tell me.
I'm stressed.
Okay, so we are 3 weeks into Paradise.
I think we're four.
4 weeks. You're right. Four. This is the week four of Paradise.
Mm-hmm.
Why are you stressed?
Oh my gosh, Dean.
Tell me.
The birthday cake.
What?
The reassuring Kaylin, we're together, and then you pull her aside after the rose ceremony. And now I'm just left on a cliffhanger. What did you do?
Because you haven't seen Tuesday's episode yet.
Well, we can't. It's not Tuesday yet.
You're right. And so you're going to have to see what happens tomorrow, but you're saying you're not confident in what's going to unfold? Is that what you're saying?
I'm like stressed that you may have to see Kaylin tomorrow.
What do you mean? Oh, at the reunion show.
Yes, because I don't know how this is going to end, but I'm guessing from your track record, it's not going to end the best. And I am sick. I'm sorry, but my stomach's turning.
I will say it was funny that you texted me when you were watching this episode.
I did.
Because like you obviously know how everything's going to turn out. And so you were like, Dean, I'm stressed out right now. I don't know what's going on. And I was like, well, just wait, because it's probably going to get a little bit worse.
You said
it's like
you did say that you said, oh, that's a bummer because it's probably going to get worse for you or something. And I was like, oh, my heart can't handle this on a Saturday.
It's like that Batman quote. It's always darkest just before the dawn. But let me assure you, the dawn is coming and things are going to get a lot, well, maybe get a lot brighter. We'll see. Anyways, there's a lot more going on in Paradise besides me and my stupid antics, right?
Yeah, but we'll get back to that.
Back to my antics?
Yeah, I still need to know more.
Okay, sure. I mean, I'm happy to fill you in as much as I can.
Okay.
By the way, that quote is from Thomas Fuller from 1650. That's not a Batman.
They use it in Batman.
I'm just saying. Yeah. It goes back a long way.
Okay, well, thank you for the... You know, when they do... like around the horn or something like that. And at the very end, they do all the things that they got wrong. That's basically what that is. In real
exactly
time,
right,
okay,
yes.
You're fact checking me as we go. That's great. Thank you so much. Tori, what other storylines from Bachelor in Paradise are you most interested in right now?
Well, do you know what I'm so confused and I would love to know more of? Why don't we see any of Mike and Sydney's love story? Like, they keep doing like cartwheels on the beach and that's all we get.
We see no dialogue between the two
of
them.
No dialogue. And then they get the rose and it's like solidified. Everyone knows that.
Maybe there's just not that much like drama developing between them.
Are they actually in love? Like, I wish I could be more attached to them, but I'm not.
Knowing both of them personally, they have like conflicting personalities. Mm. Not in a bad way, but you know, like opposites attract sometimes.
Yeah.
And I think that they were just like a slow moving couple. Sydney, I know in past relationships has moved really slowly. And Mike is like kind of a guy that like, you know, he's, I don't know. He like reads like erotic novels and he's like into that kind of
did
stuff.
Did you say erotic novels?
I did. I said that.
You saw him read an erotic novel on the beach?
He brought an erotic novel to the beach, which is fine. Like that's perfectly fine.
Like, wait a minute. What are we talking about here? Like 50 Shades or like one of those Harlequin romances with a shirtless guy in the front?
Let me ask you this. If you went to a bookstore, would you find 50 Shades of Grey in the erotic novel section?
Or
would you find it in the romance section? Because I think 50 Shades is more romance than erotic.
That's true.
Couldn't like Twilight almost be too?
It could be, of course, but that's a book that you'd also find in like drama or sci-fi or romance.
So would young adult be kind of associated with that?
Young adult's its own thing. That's separate.
I'm saying there is a section in every bookstore that goes by erotic novel, and none of those are going to be bestsellers, quote unquote, like 50 Shades or like a Twilight.
So these are more graphic than those other ones.
Again, I didn't read the book.
Uh-huh.
I saw the cover.
Do you have an author?
I wish I had the photographic memory to pull it back.
What did the cover look like,
though? It was an erotic novel. I don't want to make a bigger deal out of it because I feel bad.
But were there nude people on the cover of the book?
Mm-hmm. It was like a hot and sensual still of...
I will say, I recently got one of these about a cowboy, and they look like just like kind of normal, like sexy book on the cover. But if you read them, those things get very graphic.
Yeah.
Oh my God. You can give it Target.
I will say, I read this book once when I was like 19 years old. It's like the first novel I ever read, like willingly, not assigned by school. Yeah, you know, I was not much of a reader when I was a kid, mind you. And it was a stupid book. It was called The Game by Neil Strauss, which is just like, you guys know who Neil Strauss is? It's basically a book, like a fictional book about how to go and like pick up women.
Oh, okay.
Oh, I've heard of this.
And like how these guys like go out and like use magic tricks and peacock and neg and all these things to like get women to like hook up with them.
Wow.
Horrible book.
This is explaining so much about you.
I was 19 years old.
This is explaining so much about you.
And I get it.
It was referred to me by a friend. Anyways, the point is I was reading it one day when I was at work as a bellman at a hotel. So like I'm standing, moving around, but I had some downtime. So I was reading it. And they got graphic with one of the scenes, like one of the physical scenes that they had. And I was like reading it. I was like, holy cow, this is getting hot and heavy. Like I started to feel parts on me tingle that I didn't want to have tingling while I was working. And I can only imagine if there was a book dedicated to eroticism, I would be just losing my absolute mind the entire time. You know what I mean? Because I've got a very vivid imagination.
Okay. And this is what Mike likes to read on the beach.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Back to the original point. Yeah. Yes.
Wow.
He was. And again, no disrespect. Like, obviously, you know, you get your kicks however you can. But I'm just saying the dichotomy between him and Sydney is like he was this guy that read those books. And Sydney is like a very reserved, conservative woman who like dates very slowly, takes some time to even kiss someone. And so I'm wondering like if maybe the relationship blossoms later on in the series, or I'm sorry, in the season. because it just like hasn't necessarily gotten to that point yet.
But so yes, and to each their own, and good for him. But if you're a woman and you find this out about a new guy you're seeing, right, is that a red flag that he reads erotic novels?
Well, I was going to ask that about you. Would it be weird if somebody was reading like a 50 Shades of Grey? Because that's very...
No,
because everybody read that.
But that's still very like explicit points. And you
yeah, but it's different because guys like women who are into that sort of thing. That would be a plus, I think, for a man,
what?
Wouldn't it?
Really?
I don't know. I think that... I think it goes both ways. I actually have dated a girl in the past where she was like kind of into that stuff a lot. And first I was like, that's pretty cool. But then by like a little later on, I was like, oh, well, is that cool? I don't know anymore. I'm kind of second guessing it.
Wait, she was into the stuff that they talk about in 50 Shades, or just she was into books like that?
Into the books like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
No. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Because that's a red flag. If a girl takes you home and shows you her leather strap collection, that can be intimidating.
It would be fun for like a short amount of time, and then you'd be like, okay,
this isn't long
term.
This
is actually turning out to be a personality trait, not just like a one-off sort of thing. You know what
well,
I mean?
It's better than if he has like a subscription to Hustler magazine, isn't it? Wouldn't it be a step above that?
I do agree with that.
I don't even know what Hustler magazine is.
Like Playboy
just
or
porn,
something.
Like hardcore Playboy.
Well, I'm glad I don't know what that is then. You know,
or a porn collection. Like I feel like erotic novels are a step up from those things.
You're still getting like your literature intake.
Yeah, I was gonna say. Yeah. That's right. Only positive, I guess. But your vocabulary is expanding in a very different and unique right. way.
You're saying they're all kind of in the same bubble.
I kind of think that.
Okay. I bet you Dirty Talk is off the charts, though. No?
He would be very well versed in Dirty Talk.
If you look at his Twitter, he has some funny tweets too, Mike, where he goes, man, I'm going to pull some tweets up real quick. Before we do that, let's take a quick break and I'll get back to that. When was the last time you really slept great? Isn't it the strangest thing? We'll try just about anything to sleep better when it actually could just be time for a new mattress. If you aren't getting the quality sleep you deserve, I recommend you guys giving a try to the Sleep Number bed, the very same bed I have in my van. It's absolutely phenomenal. Right now at Sleep Number stores, it's the biggest sale of the year. All beds are on sale, and queen mattresses start at only $8.99. Wish your mattress could be firmer or softer? That's what the Sleep Number bed is famous for. You can adjust each side so it's just right for both you and your partner. How about a bed that helps keep you asleep? The Sleep Number 360 smart bed senses your movements and automatically adjusts so you're effortlessly comfortable all night long. Will you love it? Just ask JD Power. Sleep Number has been ranked number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses. For 2018 award information, visit jdpower.com. Get your own. I am a number 50 and I have not gotten a better night's sleep since finding that out for myself. Come in during the biggest sale of the year and for a limited time, save 50%. That number cannot be real, but it says it right here. 50% on a Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. You'll only find Sleep Number at one of their 575 Sleep Number stores nationwide. And you can find a store nearest you at sleepnumber.com/Dean.
What's that website again?
sleepnumber.com/Dean. Okay, so during that break, I was able to find one tweet. I thought there were more. There might be some buried down there. But he tweets, I want to text someone freaky things every now and then. Shruggy emoji.
Oh,
wow. Which again, isn't
bad, but it's like, is that something you should be tweeting?
Probably not.
I don't think so, no.
Do you think that hurts his chances at all? The fact that we don't really have a storyline with him, or he's like tweeting these things. Do you think that means he's probably not going to be The Bachelor? Because we're not really attached to his storyline.
But people were excited about him as a popular bachelor.
But like Colton
bachelor.
And Nyx, we were like attached to their storyline. We were feeling every emotion they were. And we don't really have that with Mike.
He is kind of moving behind the scenes this season. And I wonder, yeah, I mean, you're right. You don't really see a bachelor get plucked out of paradise unless they're like a polarizing figure from that season. And it doesn't seem like Mike really is that figure this season.
It doesn't. Do you think Derek could be The Bachelor?
I personally don't think he could be.
Okay, why?
But I see a lot of people... polling for him to be The Bachelor.
Okay, but why?
I don't think he has the ability to like command a room as a bachelor should. Like, I don't think he's gonna like walk into a room full of 30 women and all those 30 women are gonna be like, damn, I want to date this guy. You know what I mean? Although to rebuttal my own point, I have gotten a few texts over the past like 4 days alone from like three different of my girlfriends, and they all have been asking me to set them up with Derek.
What do you say when they say that?
I say he is trying to date someone on television right now, so let's give the guy a little bit of space. And I also say that I don't know, like I'm not good enough friends with Derek to be like, okay, cool, like let me connect you two.
Do you like setting your friends up?
No.
Why?
Actually, so I just spent, like I said earlier, I just spent a week in Croatia.
Yeah, those boys were cute.
Yeah, Ludo and Lau are very cute. What are you guys talking about over there?
I was just trying to figure out who the one is you're talking about that Derek wants to date. Because I know he went out with Steph Pratt a few times. Oh, Tayshia. Oh, I see.
Tayshia has now expressed interest in Derek. Mm-hmm. And so...
And I'll be honest, down on that beach, I thought that Tayshia and Derek were a good match. Because Derek is like a mature, well-put-together gentleman. Tayshia is, I feel like she's looking for someone like that. Mm-hmm. And so like the Tayshia JPJ dynamic was a little different. And then the Tayshia Derek dynamic just made a lot more sense to me.
People like Derek. Are you on the Derek train, Tori?
I do like Derek.
See, I think you might be wrong about Derek. I think he might be commanding
the
room.
I'm not saying...
I don't think he commands a room.
I'm not saying I dislike Derek by any means.
But I do like him.
I'm not saying I dislike Derek by any means. He's a nice guy. I think that he, when he eventually finds his person, he's going to be a great match for that person. I just don't think that, like I said earlier, there's going to be 30 women like salivating, standing at a rose ceremony like, damn, please give me a rose. Please give me a rose. I want to end up with you. Like they would with like a Tyler C or like a Peter the pilot or... Mike to an extent.
You think Pilot Pete commands a room?
I think he's like, he has the presence where he's like good looking, successful in his own right. He's like confident and kind of quirky. And I think that women like see him. Tori, I would imagine you would probably see him in person and like kind of like gush and be like,
oh
my gosh.
Pilot Pete?
Yes, 100%. No. Judging by what you've told me about the things that you like in guys and how you fall for guys.
First of all, I think we're probably about the same height.
He's tall. He's probably,
I don't think so.
I think he's as tall as me.
He looks about like 5'9", 5'10".
No, dude, everyone always comes up to me in person and they say, oh my gosh, you're so much taller in person. I guarantee you he's at least 6 feet tall.
Okay, you cheat. Okay, but we take an inch off whatever it says online.
Well, the online biography says he's 5'11".
Ooh,
so he's 5'10".
Sure. What does my online biography say?
Okay, stand by. How tall are you, Tori?
I'm 5'10 and three quarters.
Wow.
So
you've
got a quarter
inch. So you have a high
here.
Standard for how tall a guy has
I
to be.
I would have to shrink 3/4 down to kiss him.
I think Derek
him.
Might be under 6 foot.
It says you're 6'2".
Yeah. That's accurate. Yeah,
so that's 6'1".
But in reality, I'm 6'1 and a half.
See, I knew it. Yeah. You always take an inch
I'm 6'1 and a half. My license is 6'2", baby.
Ladies, anytime a guy has a height on Bumble or their dating profile, always take an inch off.
Oh, if they're putting it on Bumble, I take like 3 inches
Let's
off.
Look, can we look up Derek's height real quick, too?
Derek's height? Sure, I'd be happy to.
I think he's taller than me.
No, I think he's like under 6 foot.
Because when we were all in Napa together, I'm pretty sure he was taller.
I know Mike's like 6'5".
6'3 for Derek Beth.
Oh, that is not true
Wait,
at all.
What? Wait,
according
what?
To this, it's 6'3".
He knows someone at Google or something because that is a falsified number.
Okay, didn't you just admit that you falsified your number too?
By a half an inch, you round up.
Still counts.
He's not 6'2 and a half. I tower over him whenever I stand next to him.
A white lie and a lie are all the same thing.
So you're telling me right now you want Derek to be the next Bachelor?
I would actually be maybe more intrigued with his storyline than Pilot Pete.
Why?
I just feel like we've seen kind of all of Pilot Pete that we've needed to see.
And you want to see more of Derek?
Because like we met the parents, we saw their sex life. There's really nothing hidden about him where I'm kind of like, I've seen it all with Derek. I'm like, I could definitely need layers peeled back for you.
I guess I could see Derek having like better conversations with the women. Again, I just think that a Bachelor season is more about the catty female drama between them, like trying to like pine over each other to get to the guy.
Yeah.
And I think that women would be like fighting tooth and nail harder to get to Peter than they would to Derek.
Well, I was going to ask you this because you said you think that Pilot Pete is attractive and would command the room and girls would be, you know, wanting to talk and get to know him more. Mm-hmm. Do you think Derek's attractive?
He's not my type.
He has blue eyes just like you.
He's not my type.
White teeth.
I don't know if I like the scruff very much.
Okay, says the mustache.
That's not scruff. That's a mustache. Is he your type?
Well, he looks like John Krasinski. Is that how you say
it? Yeah, that's a good thing.
I hate that
comparison. So, and every
Why?
Woman loves
because
John
Krasinski. I love
John
Krasinski.
No, every woman
does. You don't
see
a resemblance?
Maybe it's just because I know Derek and I've hung out with him multiple times. And like once you start to hang out with people, and that's another thing too, probably why I have a lot more for Peter is because there's like a mystery or like an allure of someone that you don't know on a personal level. I've never met Pete in person. I've hung out with Derek many, many times. And so I just like, I know him too well to be like, oh, okay, like you should do this. But with Peter, like I don't know much about him. So I'm just like projecting how I think he would do as a bachelor into existence. You know what I mean? Mm. But I will say, no, he's not my type. If I were to like get super drunk and just... what's the word? If I were just to like, you know, go all out one night and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to find a dude and I'm just going to dig in, make out with him, see where we go. Who knows? Like the night is our oyster. It wouldn't be Derek.
Who would it be?
Tyler C.
Well, yeah, that name ready to go. Wow.
Or Pete. I don't know. Pilot Pete, I would be into it too. Or Peter for my season. Or Alex B for my season. There are a lot of dudes that I'd be willing to get down and dirty with.
Wait, the Peter from your season has like major scruff and blue eyes, right?
He's got green eyes.
What is going on? Is there something going on between you and Derek that you just need to maybe let out?
No, I mean, there's not. We actually, what's funny is when I walked down to the beach the first time I saw him, because there was like, I don't know, I don't want to call it beef, but like Taylor Nolan and I are like friends, you know?
Oh, I didn't know that.
And it's like whenever you see here one side, like there's always three sides to the stories, but after breakups, like obviously exes are never going to really speak very highly of each other.
Right.
I'm not saying like she ever spoke negatively of him, but I don't know. It's just, it was like a tricky situation.
You and Kaylin are shown a lot with PDA and always being off together and doing your own thing. But who is like the guy you would confide in most when you're at Bachelor in Paradise besides Wells? Like who is your guy friend?
I mean, they're all my friends.
But who did you spend time with outside of Kaylin?
I didn't really like confide in any. I didn't need to confide in anyone. I wasn't like struggling down there. Yeah, I guess. Like my producer friend Bill was down there. I guess I confided in him.
No, I want to know who you hung out with because it was really just you and Kaylin the whole time.
Dylan. I hung out with Dylan a lot.
How is Dylan? Is he as great as everyone says?
Do you like Dylan? Because I think that a lot of people kind of think he's like kind of naggy and complainy. But he's great. I love him.
Our producer, Danielle, is obsessed with Dylan. So you got to take that up with her.
You don't like him?
Mm. No, I'm sorry. I think you misheard. I said I love him.
I'm obsessed with him. I'm rooting so hardcore for Dylan.
Dylan and the Hannah G love story.
Yes, I live for it. It's my favorite thing I'm watching on Paradise this year or the season. There's something so sweet about him.
Yes, he's very pure.
Yeah, he's so pure and his intentions are there and Hannah just needs to just go with it. Which
but it
I
looks
feel like
she's
fine.
Yeah, she's finally starting to focus.
Danielle's
on him
also
a little
biased because everyone thinks that her husband looks like Dylan.
They have the same hair. That's about it.
Is
it
the coiffed up and like the short on the sides?
Correct.
It's great hair, and he is hilarious too. Like you don't really get to see a lot of his humor because he's constantly like kind of being upset about the whole Hannah and Blake situation or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like a hilarious dude, and like his humor is very like it's very similar to mine. Like very self-deprecating, very like. I don't know how to say this. He's like openly like, oh yeah, I'd make out with that dude for sure. Or like Mike's so hot, I'd make out with him. You know, and I always respect.
Love that.
I always respect a guy whose humor is like he's comfortable enough with himself to be like, oh yeah, like I totally make out with that dude. Like jokingly, but like still, like it takes a lot to.
Do
say
you guys
that
think
stuff.
About that? Like that guy's pretty attractive. If I were to maybe hook up with a guy, I would hook up with him.
No,
Dean had a list of five people. I mean, clearly he's thought about this.
I made out with a couple dudes in Croatia.
What's the list of five people?
Hold on.
Tyler C, Peter, Alex, Peter. What?
You made out with guys in Croatia?
Yeah, like closed mouth, extended time kisses.
Like a joking thing or like a cultural thing?
Like a joking, fun,
oh, no.
Like we're all partying.
So you've never kissed a guy in a non-joking manner?
No, is that bad?
No, not at all. Oh. I'm just clarifying because I agree. It's funny to talk about for whatever reason.
There's never any tongue. It's always just like, you know, like nice little cute pecks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Did you feel a little tingly thing down there?
When I was reading that book? No, I didn't. But I don't know. Maybe I should try a little harder.
Wait, they were all sitting around the campfire talking about their worst first kiss.
Everyone
on this week's
said
episode,
it was Colton.
And they all said it was Colton's.
Yeah.
I'm not going to ask you if you kissed Colton, but I do want to know, who do you have a worst kiss? Like, does everyone, do you think everybody has a bad kiss?
I'm probably a lot of people's worst kiss.
Get out of here.
Probably. Yeah. Sorry.
Why do you say that with such confidence?
Yeah. Well, I know my first kiss was very embarrassing because I'd never done it before.
And How old were you?
15, which is a little old for a first kiss.
No.
And I kept going... Like I was making a noise, like the whole room could hear it. There were other couples in
the
room.
Wait, where were you?
A friend's basement. We were watching a movie. It was like three couples watching a movie and everybody was making out and then the noise happened and that was from me.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like you have a complex about it now.
it's still a little embarrassing.
Adult,
yeah.
What about you, Tor?
A bad kiss?
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Let's hear it.
A lot of tongue.
Mm-hmm.
It was like overwhelming. Sometimes I still like cringe about it.
Why? It's just too much tongue.
It was just one of those things where he was already such like a presence where you could just be more delicate in your kiss. And he definitely was not.
Mm.
It was just like so much tongue. And I think they try to do something to like stimulate the girl. And you're like, no.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Actually, I just remember my worst kiss. And it was very similar to that. It was like a tongue being like used as like a torpedo or like a spear.
Yeah.
Like you have like so many muscles in your tongue. You don't need to use every single one of them when you're making out with someone. You know what I mean?
I just remembered one from high school, actually. She was, I don't think she'd kissed a lot of guys before me. And so when we kissed, she literally just opened her mouth as wide as she possibly could.
Oh,
just,
no.
Oh.
And I wasn't sure what to do with that.
Also, the hitting the teeth.
The teeth. Yeah.
I bet you Eason has a pretty good story.
Well, I mean, I feel like I'm a lot of people's bad kisses too. But I think I told this on Scrubbing In or some other podcast. But this one woman I tried to make out with, she did this thing where she kept her face far away from mine, mm-hmm. and she would trace my lips with her tongue.
Mm.
And she never made contact.
There's never lip on lip. It was always tongue to lip.
Yeah, it felt like she was trying to come in for a landing or something, and clearing space. But
so in that instance, she was a bad kisser.
She was a bad kisser. Yeah, that was my worst kiss mm-hmm. experience. And my first kiss ever was at the Scotts Valley roller rink when I was 12, and we kissed once, and then she whispered in my ear, "I'm on probation."
What does that even
Wait,
mean?
Are you kidding?
I'm not joking.
Are you kidding?
I swear to God.
What is probation?
She was, and I said, "I'm sorry." And she said, "I got busted for having marijuana."
As a 12-year-old?
12-year-old.
Did she have the ankle thing around?
No,
that
she was on
house arrest. Middle school.
But she was on probation. She was worried about, I think she saw a police officer or something, and I'm like, "Are you not allowed to be out in public?" She's like, "No, I'm just worried."
So Easton likes a bad girl.
Yeah.
So is that why she kissed you, to kind of hide from the police officer, hide her face?
I don't know, because we went and saw Planet of the Apes, the Tim Burton one, and then we kissed, and then I never saw her again.
I think that explains the tattoos a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah, she instilled a bad boy mentality into you, you know?
Oh, well, yes, I mean, I am somewhat of a bad boy, but... Yeah, you don't know what it's like till you've kissed a fugitive, let me tell you.
Especially as a 12-year-old.
Did she think that would be alluring to you?
No,
or was just a heads up
just
warning?
Told me, uh-huh. And I was like, "Should we stop?" And she's like, "No." And then we kissed again.
Are they watching?
Yeah, and then after it was done, I was like, should I be concerned? And she's like, no, I just wanted to let you know. And
let's consider it.
My dad's a police officer, asked her who her contacts were.
Are you kidding?
I'm not joking. Yeah, we knew some of the same people.
How long did you guys date for?
3 days. I was nice. 12,
The most riveting 36 hours.
The seventh grade. But it was funny to hear Colton being everyone's first worst kiss.
I will say, though, I didn't watch his season, but when I would watch the certain parts from it or the highlights, I always noticed he looked like a really rough kisser.
Yeah. I just think his lack of experience, maybe, which is kind of endearing in a weird way. Would you agree? You want to know who looks like a bad kisser on Paradise?
Uh-oh, who? You?
Well, in addition to me, yes. John Paul Jones. Have you seen the way he kisses? He goes full-on fish mode, like pucks the lips out a lot.
Do you know who liked that, though?
Tayshia?
Taj.
Juan.
Juan.
Yes. Let's talk about their date. But before we talk about their date, let's take a quick break. Okay, great. And I'm glad you bring that up, Tor, because I do want to talk about the JPJ and the Tajwan and the Haley from this episode.
Holy smokes.
Because because here's my thing. And it's funny because Nick texted me, right? After this episode aired, he texted me.
Wait, Nick who?
Vial.
Oh, okay.
Nick and I are good friends, whatever. And he's got his Bachelor podcast, Vial Files. Don't listen to that one. Listen to Almost Famous instead.
It's way better. Weird.
I'm plugging people to listen to Almost Famous instead.
Which you did plug on this week's episode. Went in your conversation with Kaylin, but I do suck at dating.
No, I plugged Help I Suck at Dating, not Almost Famous.
You did on the TV show?
Yes.
Hey, thank you. That's awesome.
Yeah. He did.
I can't believe they aired that, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
That was one of my texts to you, too. Yeah. I said, but I'm mad at you, but way to plug.
Yes. And Nick texts me and he goes, "Hey, what's up with this JPJ guy?" And it's funny watching this episode back because, look, I love John Paul Jones. He's hilarious. He's kind of hard to have a real in-depth conversation with because he's just kind of whoa, bro, oh, cool. You know what I mean? But then watching these dates with Tajwan and Haley, he can't form full sentences. He's laughing his ass off 90% of the time.
His laugh is wild.
When he said, "This is my first ever Taj one-on-one."
I didn't get that.
Because her name is Tajwan and they're on a one-on-one.
So it just rhymes.
It was it was a pun.
Tajwan
on one.
I don't know why, you guys. I literally wrote this in the notes and I sat there and I was wrote in my notes and I said, I don't really get why this was so witty.
Yeah.
It was just beyond me.
And it's actually really funny that you said that because when she came down, I'm sure you don't remember what her date card read, but it said, "Find the Tajwan you want to go on a date with." And it makes sense because her name is Tajwan. So mm-hmm. find the Tajwan you want to take on a date. And I didn't know who it was when she walked down. I had no idea that her name was Tajwan. And so she read that and I looked around and I go, that was the weirdest date card I've ever heard. That doesn't make any sense. I was like, what the hell is a Taj Wand? I realized later on that it's her, like, it took me a second to realize the pun as well.
Yeah, you know, no, because I actually Googled what Taj means, because I was like, maybe that means something one-on-one. Uh-huh. And then it was actually, it said, did you mean Taz, which is T-A-Z, and then that's a drug. So I really didn't get it.
And it turns out her name is, her father's name is Juan. The whole day was just weird to me.
JPJ eating the food on a date.
That's not that weird. That was made too
is
big.
Is he like, yeah, like, is that, has anybody done that before though?
Yeah, 100%.
Who?
I don't know, but.
Are you just making up a rumor?
That's not the weirdest thing on that entire, the whole day was just weird to me, was it not? Like.
She's just so herself, and JPJ is so himself, that it's two very independent, eccentric people together.
I guess.
But I think it kind of worked because it was like, you're kind of quirky, I'm kind of quirky. And we just accept each other for where we're at.
And then Taj Juan was immediately like obsessed with him. And that, I think, was tricky.
She had a panic attack because of it Haley came down.
So I didn't really talk to Taj Juan very much when we were on the beach, but I didn't realize how into JPJ she actually was. But yeah, she really liked him. But then he goes on a date with Haley.
Twin from Ben's season.
Right, who is Haley is Emily's twin from Ben's season. And the date with Haley, aesthetically speaking, they look like they could be, not like brother or sister, but they like, they're both like platinum blonde, like really good looking people. Mm-hmm. And so just on paper, they made a lot of sense to me. They're both like quirky and fun and whatever. And I don't know. It was just funny to watch their date. So he like came back and he was like super smitten about it. But I think in tonight's episode on Tuesday, we're going to see like maybe a different side of JPJ, just judging by what we saw in the teaser for tomorrow's episode.
Well, we saw JPJ get a little handsy with Haley with the sunscreen.
Yeah. What'd you think of that? I love that they black boxed Haley's butt all the time.
Yeah. I was going to ask, what bathing suit requires you to get
it was just like a satire. Like they were just kind of being funny, the show. Mm. You know what I mean?
Because it's not the first time they've done that.
Right.
But I was going to say, he kept saying, oh my gosh, Lord help me. Oh my gosh, my parents are going to kill me. While he's like literally rubbing his hands underneath her bathing suit.
Sorry, Mom, I'm with a really beautiful woman right now.
Yeah, literally. But I was thinking, I wonder how many, like, do you have any scenes you regret that or that happened where you're like, oh my gosh, if my friends see this, I'm gonna be so embarrassed? Because you've been on
four. So many, but never like the sexual scenes like that. Like the crying scenes. I would like cry on TV and I'd be like, oh, my friends are gonna give me so much for that. But
for crying? No, there's gotta be something better. Is there something where you're like, I really hope this doesn't air?
In this season?
Any.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure there's plenty of things.
I just want you to say, I want this. I know there's one.
What is there? Do you know
which one? I
don't
know.
You just know that I'm struggling right now?
No, I just want you to tell me.
There was a scene from Bachelor Winter Games that I'm really happy didn't get aired.
Okay, I would love to know more about it. Was there a girl involved?
Yes.
Okay.
We were hooking up in a place that we shouldn't have been hooking up.
Ooh.
I'm not going to get into much detail.
A closet.
It was
jacuzzi.
It was dark. There might have been people around.
Indoor, outdoor.
And it was indoor, and that's as far as I'm going to say.
Were you at the top of a mountain skiing?
That's not indoors, is it?
But well, wait, what was it about it that was so embarrassing? I don't care if
it
was.
It's not that it was embarrassing. It's just like, you know, you don't want to see yourself like getting super hot, like when you're kissing on a date or something, you're kind of like contained and you're like, oh, we're just going to make out. But this one was like getting a little bit more like past first base in a sense. Not like super, not like hitting a home run or anything like that, but things were progressing more than just a small little makeout session.
I think I understand what you're saying.
Right.
There was maybe some groping involved on both of your parts.
Sure, yes.
It's mutual groping.
Very consensual. It was very,
very consensual mutual groping.
And they didn't air, they like teased a part of it in one of the, in the season premiere preview, but they never actually aired any part of it in the show, which I'm pretty grateful for. And I think she was grateful for it as well. Just, you know, we were like, it was like a couple days in and we had been drinking a little bit and we were like just exploring.
I would hate to watch myself make out and grope.
It could be game time footage. It's good to kind of watch, maybe learn some new techniques.
That's what was so great about Bachelor in Paradise this time around, because I've talked about this before. I stayed sober the whole time. And so there hasn't been much on this season where I'm like, oh man, like I'm kind of hoping they don't air that, because I didn't really, yes, I did dumb things, but I didn't do like things out of my own, I guess, like will or like control. You know, like when you get drunk, you make a lot of bad decisions.
Right.
You wake up in the morning and you're like, oh,
that liquid courage.
Right. But I'm saying like you make those mistakes privately, like on a Friday night, at Bungalow. You wake up Saturday morning, you're like a little stressed out. You make those on national television, and then you wait 3 months for something to air, and you're like, holy cow, I really hope they don't air this for the entire like nation to see. It's just a little bit different. So,
how many girls do you think are going to go to Bungalow this weekend now, just hoping to see you there?
I haven't been to Bungalow in years, and I have no intention to go back.
Ladies, sorry about that.
Oh my gosh. What else is going on? There is Kaylin and me. We talked about that a little bit.
Okay. She pulls you aside because she had just spoken to Demian Wells, who said, hey, nobody's been able to tie him down. Mm-hmm. Are you sure everything is going as great as you think it is? And she says, yes, confidently.
Yes.
Wells actually does chime in saying, nobody's tied down Dean.
I'm unwrangleable.
Yes, that's correct. He did use that word.
Yes.
And then she brings you over to the bed. Were you expecting this conversation to happen?
I'm going to tell you exactly what I was expecting. But before that, we're going to take a quick break. Okay, so Tori's question was I expecting to have a conversation with Kaylin when she pulled me down to the daybed? And to answer it honestly and truthfully, no, I did not expect that. Because the entire time I'm down on the beach talking to Kaylin, I'm like, look, I don't know if I'm ready for a relationship. I was like considering not even coming here because I'm kind of like anti-bachelor relationship to begin with. We're hitting it off. We have a lot of chemistry. We're having a lot of fun. But like, I think it's totally acceptable and responsible of you to like be guarding your heart from this.
I would die.
And the entire time she's like, yeah, like I get it. Whatever. We'll move slow. We'll figure this out. Blah, 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 blah. And then all of a sudden she was like, hey, come on, we need to have this serious talk. And I was like, what? This is so out of left field here. Like, I figured we were on the same page. Like, every chance I get, I remind you like how hesitant and apprehensive I am to jump into a relationship here. And then she pulls me down and she goes, well, what are your intentions? And I go, well, what do you mean? What are my intentions? I've been telling you like literally every hour on the hour since the first time we met what my intentions are. It's basically just to come down, have fun. If something happens, great. But at the end of all of this, this Bachelor in Paradise season, I'm probably not going to leave in a relationship. And I told her that multiple times. I was like, look, if we get to the end of the show, I'm probably going to want to leave single.
In some weird way, I kind of don't believe you.
100% I'm telling you the
truth. Because how is she so adamant saying we are going to walk away, possibly, like I can see us walking away in a relationship.
Because she, just like every other girl that I've ever dated in my entire life, thinks that they can change my mind.
But I wouldn't be very confident going, everything's going great between me and Dean. Like, you know, like she really doesn't mention once that you're hesitant on your end. From the editing we see.
And of course, like I said before, there's so much going on at all times. They can't air everything. But I was very clear and direct, and she understood it, and she still felt like she needed some clarity. And obviously, like, I did my best to give it to her. It was still kind of an awkward conversation. Like, I'm still not telling her the things that she wants to hear. But I'm not going to sit down there on that day but and be like, yeah, I could totally see us like having a future together. I could totally see us doing this, this, and this, because that's not necessarily how I felt. So why would I sit there and be like, yeah, I totally believe all this stuff. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So the entire, like, and again, I think I've been vocal about this on the podcast where I don't know if it was necessarily right for me to go down on that beach having that mindset where I didn't really want to date anyone. I just wanted to go and have fun. And then sure enough, like, someone started to fall for me. We'll see this all come to a dramatic climax on Tuesday's episode. So I think like maybe everything will be answered.
But here's where I'm bothered, because this is like every guy. And Danielle, chime in if you think I'm wrong or right. Guys leave out major details in conversations.
Mm.
Girls, we do assume, but we're not really quick to assume. Like, we definitely have conversations, we talk about things, and we take it all in. So I don't doubt that you said that, but I think also all of your actions are speaking way louder than your words. So she's like, we're obviously doing really great. And then you go and give her a birthday surprise with champagne, a cake, you bring that in. She's telling you, hey, I just need you to tell me, like, why are you down on this beach? And you're telling her, I'm here taking it day by day with you. Let's just be present. Like, you're feeding her so many things that I think you aren't owning up to what you were doing.
So you think it's messed up of me?
I don't think it's messed up of you, but I think your actions are speaking way louder than your words. So either you need to own your actions and accept that, being like, this doesn't feel comfortable to me because I'm somebody who's a free bird and I live in a van and I'm happy. But like, you got to own up to your actions, because obviously your brain is way more than like where your heart is.
Danielle, what do you think?
I see where you're coming from, Tori, But I'm okay with Dean showing some affection, even though he's really not sure exactly what's happening.
Yeah, thanks. It's good to have someone have
no,
my back here.
No, but for
here.
Real. Like, I totally feel that way. Like,
no.
As a girl, as a chick, like, I'm like, oh, why is Dean doing that? But I understand Dean's side of it.
But, like, this is the classic where Kaylin can, quote unquote, look kind of crazy because she's saying all these things. And now Dean's saying he never really said anything opposite of that. But his actions were speaking so much louder than his words that it's like, now she's going to be panned out to be this kind of crazy girl who's just obsessed with Dean. And that's not the case. Like, you were into her. You liked her. Or, like, I don't know what's going to happen. But, like, that's so annoying that you're the guy that now is like, I'm cool, I'm chill, and I got this crazy chick who thinks I'm into her. And it's like, that's so annoying. Like, you're such the guy that everyone is so frustrated by.
Dean can't handle how the show's edited. As long as he is...
You can't edit a hug and a makeout session
no,
in a pool.
But we aren't saying the conversations where you're saying all your intentions and how you're feeling. We haven't seen that. But if you're if you truly did have those conversations with her, I'm okay with it.
Tor?
No, it's infuriating to me.
It's
actually.
Mixed messages.
I see
what
Danielle is saying, and I kind of agree with what Tori is saying. Where the actions speak louder than words.
We can just edit out where he says, "I agree." We'll take out the kind.
Even if I'm saying these things, regardless of whether I'm saying them and being honest and direct and clear about that, I see your point because I'm still acting like I'm interested in keeping things going after Paradise.
You're saying one thing, your tongue is saying another thing.
Whoa.
But like, yes.
And maybe that's why all of this is coming to a head on Tuesday's episode, where maybe we'll have it all figured out after this.
And you give her your rose. Like, everything about this makes me so frustrated.
I think you need to be patient and just see how it plays out.
I know I need to be patient, but I'm assuming the situations that happened in the past of Bachelor in Paradise. So I really don't, you could have been pulling her aside, just being like, hey, I really am all in. And I really can't jump to that. But that first conversation makes me very wary some of what this new conversation is going to be. But it's like, of course Dean would do this after he gives her the freaking rose.
Have I given her the rose in this episode?
Yes.
Yeah. What is your take on Bachelor in Paradise? There's a lot of couples forming. I'm starting to make myself look like an Are you on my side? Are you on Kaylin's side? Do you love John Paul Jones? Do you hate Derek? I don't know. Let us hear your thoughts. Email us at isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. Bachelor in Paradise is only halfway over, and I want to hear what you guys think. So email us, isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com.
I'm where Kaylin's at. You're like, hey, I need to talk to you. And literally the whole room like kind of stops and just like stares as you and Kaylin walk down. And she's like, Dean, don't do this. Dean, are you serious? Do you really want to have a conversation right now? Dean, just tell me what's going on. And you're like, let's just go sit back at the, you know, let's just go chill. And I'm like, I can't tell if I trust Dean's actions right now, or I'm trusting Kaylin's emotional state right now. Like, I don't know what side to be on, but I'm annoyed.
I can see that.
I'm annoyed.
I can really see that.
And you're making her out to look a little crazy.
I think that you will gain some clarity on the situation on tomorrow's episode, on Tuesday's night episode. After or before Chris and Crystal's wedding. I know you haven't seen it yet, but I think that it'll help.
And it does look like there's a lot of drama.
At the wedding.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But generally speaking, taking it out of the Bachelor in Paradise world, it's not great when a guy's like, you know, I'm just playing it cool. I'm just playing mm-hmm. it day by day. And then he comes over and makes out with you and takes you out all the time and sleeps over and whatever.
Makes you feel cheap.
That's the effed up thing is you shouldn't go to Bachelor in Paradise not trying to leave in a relationship.
He's taking it outside of the Bachelor realm.
But I see your point too. That's a good point.
I'm sorry.
I was taking it away from Bachelor, just saying there are a lot of guys like that uh-huh. that are just going to take as much as they can get from you as long as you're willing to give it, because they can always cover themselves saying like, hey, I said from the beginning, I don't want a relationship.
Yeah,
we've been sleeping together for 6 months. Oh, sorry, I told you. You know, and it's just kind of a dick move.
Uh-huh. It is.
I agree. A big dick move.
Not saying you're doing that exactly. We'll find out tomorrow night more.
More of a little dick move, I guess. It really depends on your interpretation of what the dick move is. But yes, I agree with everything you guys are saying. I think that it's probably the reason that this podcast even exists. I suck at dating. I don't know what I'm doing ever.
I can't explain to you when I was watching that show.
It's hard to in this instance specifically, it's hard to firmly believe something. In this case, me firmly believing I'm better off alone. But then you meet someone that you have like an instant chemistry with, and you're like fighting your original belief that you want to be alone, you want to be single, and then you meet someone and like things are going well, there's not really any reason for you to end anything. Like that's kind of, I think, where all these tricky situations come from, where you get like caught up on this mindset, like I'm going to stay single, but then you meet someone, things go well, they go well, they go well. Eventually it gets to a point where nothing really has ever gone wrong, but you still don't want to have a relationship. And so like, you don't really have a reason to be like, okay, like obviously we should stop this. You know what I mean?
Do you like the attention you get from being self-deprecating?
I don't know if I can say that I like it. What do you mean?
Well, you,
I mean, there's a lot
you really own that title with pride, which is fine.
The I suck at dating?
No, the like, you're like, yeah, Dylan and I, we're both very self-deprecating people. Yeah. Do you enjoy the attention that brings, where the girl's going to have to be like, no, I want to fix you. And you're like, I can't be fixed. And then she's like, okay, but I want to fight for you. And you're like, I'm not worth fighting over. Like, do you enjoy that attention to somewhat level? And I need honesty.
There's a lot of psychological issues that I have. I'm not saying.
No,
that.
I need a yes or no.
I don't
think you do.
I don't enjoy the attention. No.
I think you do.
That's not the purpose of being self-deprecating.
But I think that you get a little bit of like, oh, I love that somebody really wants to help fill that void, or that feeling that I have where I do long for someone, but no one can fix that. No one can be that ultimate void or fill that void. So you almost like the fact that somebody like really cares about you that much to be like, I'm still here next to you.
No, I think that I need someone to not care about me at all in order for me to be really interested in that.
Ooh, oh, now he wants boy. Attention from this.
I do believe,
Dean,
when you
I'll
say
be your, I'll be your pal.
When you say I'm not worth fighting for, I do think you believe that. Sadly, I do think you believe that.
Yeah.
I don't think you're just saying that to be self-deprecating or to get sympathy or attention. I think you actually believe that, which makes me sad.
Yeah, I mean, you're
now
right.
I look like a big dick.
But on the other hand, what's Kaylin supposed to think? Like, this is the path that people go on. They have a chemistry. They kiss. They spend time together. They laugh. They have a great time. That usually is a road to a certain destination,
right?
And you're removing that destination.
It's hard. It's never black and white, right? There's not ever one path that gets you to a specific destination, as you're saying. But
with you, you're not. I think most people in America are either on the path or consider themselves on the path that I am single, and then I will meet someone, and I will date them, and then we will get married, and then we'll have babies. Right. And that's kind of the path.
Yes.
And you're not on that path.
My path is, I don't want to date anyone. I don't want to get married. I don't want to have babies. And so that way, when I do date someone, I do get married, and I do have babies, I'll know that it was like against my will, which makes it probably more perfect.
So you're not even the guy who's like, I could have kids before marriage, or...
What?
Like, you know how some people are like, oh, I don't really want to get married, but they could see themselves having kids.
Yeah.
They're like, I would love to be a dad someday, but I don't really see marriage as in my picture.
I would have to be in like a committed relationship. I don't necessarily have to be married. I see what you're saying, but if I were to have kids, I would prefer to be married, I think. I don't know. Is that what you're asking?
Kind of. I'm just saying, I mean, there's a lot of people that I'm meeting now where they're like, I don't really want the whole commitment of husband and wife to determine whether I need to be a dad or not. So I love kids. I would love to have kids. I think I'm going to make a great dad, but then... They don't need marriage for that.
I don't think it's a commitment thing. It's just more of like a government thing.
It's always one layer deeper.
So you're saying, what you just said a minute ago is interesting to me. So you're saying that if you do get married one day, it will be against your will. But therefore, that means she meant that much to you, that she was powerful enough to conquer all of your previous plans of not getting married or having babies.
I've been vocal about this before, especially as it pertains to bachelor relationships. People go on to Bachelor in Paradise specifically, where they go, regardless of what happens, I'm coming out of this in a relationship. If you go down onto the beach thinking that thing, or if you go to the bar thinking, I'm going to meet my boyfriend tonight, you're going to see it through those rose-colored lenses. You're not going to look at it as, I'm going to find the person that's right for me. You're looking at it as, I'm going to find the relationship that I want. You know what I mean?
Yes, you're casting a role.
Exactly. And so because of that, like, you're limiting yourself and pursuing something rather than pursuing someone, I think, in a situation like that. And that's not necessarily...
There's actually something very romantic about what he's saying right now.
Thanks, Mark.
He's saying, I'm not getting married, period. So if there's a woman that comes along and blows his mind to the degree that he wants to marry her, wow.
Right.
Like, she is really something special.
I hope we all like her.
That's kind of sweet.
I mean, same. It could be you, Tori. Who knows?
Definitely.
Wait,
not.
You have a dating story for us, right?
Yeah, I need help.
Okay, we're gonna get into the issues of your dating life, mm-hmm. but before we do that, we're gonna take one quick break, and I want to hear all about it. Okay.
Perfect.
Perfect. Do you wish you could relive that little league home run all over again, or that grade school spelling bee that you took second place in? Oh, so close to my heart. Mm-hmm. Your parents took them and saved them. Now it's up to you to preserve them. Don't save your Throwback Thursdays for just one day of the week. Bring new life to your old media with digitization. Get your digital files back on thumb drive or digital download through Legacy Box Cloud. Legacy Box is the box service you actually need. It's simple, it's safe, and it's smart. Just pack it, send it, they'll do the rest. Here's the breakdown of how it works. You load it up with your aging media. If it's videotapes, film, reels, pictures, even audio cassettes, all you got to do is send it in and sit back, relax, because Legacy Box will take care of the rest. Every item you send in comes with its own barcode, so you can track them throughout the entire digitization process. In a couple of weeks, you'll get all of your old media plus shiny new digital copies on thumb drive or digital download through Legacy Box Cloud.
I've used the service. It's fantastic. It's I just wanted to know that.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
For anyone that wants to keep their old memories for the rest of time, your parents took them. It's up to you to save them. Digitally preserve your photos and videos before it's too late with Legacy Box. For a limited time, they are offering our listeners of Help I Suck at Dating a huge discount. Go to legacybox.com/Dean to get 40% off your first order. Save your time and your memories. Go to legacybox.com/Dean and save 40%. And remember those moments for the rest of your life. Okay, Tori, you are an active dater. You're single. You're beautiful. You're a catch.
I hate all of this.
You are smart. You're funny sometimes. You are interesting.
I think Tori's a catch. I think that's true.
Oh my gosh, that's so nice.
All of these things are true. You're going on dates and you have fun stories to share with us. Let's hear the story. Let's hear the dilemma that you're in right now.
So I kind of mentioned it on last week's podcast that I'm dating somebody long distance. I don't know if I could really do, say we were dating. I don't know. Do you guys say dating just happens when you're just talking to someone?
That's dating, I think. Yes.
Can I say that's
it's
dating?
It's not exclusive. It's not boyfriend, girlfriend.
Right.
It's just dating.
Okay. So I guess I'm dating this guy. I'm just going to say talking.
What was the issue last week? Because I don't think Dean was here for that.
So basically I was saying how we are way more having to be invested in our phones to date each other. Mm-hmm. And that stresses me out because he's not the best texter, which I usually would find attractive if we lived in the same city. Cause then I'd be like, oh, that's fine. Just come hang out with me. I don't really like texting either. Huge FaceTimer. So that does work in this favor. But now the texting, I have to read into every freaking text message. Mm. And it is so confusing.
What do you mean read into?
Just like, why the period? Or like, why did you take 2 hours to respond?
You're overanalyzing
everything. If he sends something 2 hours, should I, this would actually be a great question for guys. When you send a text to a girl, let's say an hour after, and then does it make a difference if a girl holds out on responding a little while after too?
I did this when I was 19. I was really interested in a girl. We started talking, texting. I went back for winter break. She went back to her hometown for winter break. And she would text me like 3 hours after. And so I would set an alarm for 3 hours from that text to then text her back.
You're kidding.
I was 19, Tori. Okay. The point is, we are all adults now and we shouldn't be doing this anymore.
Wait, the fact that you set an alarm is so petty.
I will say this. It worked. We dated for a year and a half. We were boyfriend, girlfriend. So I'm not, but then actually come to find out maybe like 3 months into our relationship, she would say things like, dude, I was so pissed off at you. Like when we first started talking to each other, you would text me back like 7 hours later and I hated it. And I had to fight every instinct to stop talking to you because I didn't want to talk to you anymore. You know, but I was doing it as because I was overanalyzing these texts and I was saying, oh, she hasn't texted me in 4 hours. I'm not going to text her back for 4 hours. Or she sent 2 lines of text. I'm going to send 2 lines of text. She had an ellipsis at the end of her statement. I'm going to have 3 exclamation points at the end of my statement. That's what I'm saying. I was 19. We're not 19 anymore. We're past these games.
But we're not. This overanalysis still goes on a daily basis.
But it shouldn't.
Agreed.
But it does.
But it shouldn't.
I do think it's a bad sign. Like, some people are more attached to their phones than others. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I consider myself a busy guy. I got 2 kids, wife, job. I get back to you pretty quickly when you text me, don't I?
You actually really do.
Yeah. So he saw the text when it came in. That's what bothers me about it. I'm quite confident he saw it.
He could be. So when I was at UCLA playing sports, you'd be in like game film time or whatever, watching film, and you'd be secretly texting, but like you had to really be like quiet about it. Like I do get, okay, so basically he's an athlete. So I have to abide by his schedule way more than he has to abide by mine, which I'm fine with. So basically he's out of practice around like, let's say 8. So that'd be 6 my time. And then he goes to bed by 10. So we have like 2 hours to talk. So I don't know what he's doing in those 2 hours. I don't know if he's really that done. I don't know if he's just watching film. I don't really know the status. So I really extend grace on texting people back slowly because I do know life's crazy. This is part one. Do I need to respond when he responds? Or do I actually give it time to kind of create more of a chase or more of a what's happening? No, or should I ignore some of his texts?
Don't play games.
Don't wait intentionally to like do the same thing he's doing. Definitely don't do this. Never, ever call him out for taking so long to text you back. Never do that.
So that's what I said on the last podcast. I was like, it's hard that I can't express like, hey, it sucks that like you respond so slowly when we only have 2 hours to talk.
It's not going to improve anything.
No.
It's not going to make anything better if you call him out and say, hey, I don't like that you don't text me back right away. It's, if anything, it's only going to make it worse. It's going to push him further away. At least in my case, like if someone's, people do say that to me. Like I have close friends who sometimes say like, why don't you text me back quicker? Why don't you do this? And all it does is like aggravate me to the point where I'm like, I'm doing the best I can here. I'm texting you back when I can text you back, when I like find time to text you back, either mentally, physically, whatever it is, like say I'm preoccupied, whatever. You like kind of nagging me and like scaring me into texting you back faster, it's not gonna make anything better.
But is that a sign that maybe it's just not the person you want to have respond if you consider it as nagging?
Kind of give him the benefit of the doubt a little bit if he's an athlete. Because that totally does change things. Obviously, totally. If he's on the field, he can't respond to you and he probably isn't seeing it. So I think I might take back what I said about him seeing the text when it came in.
Okay.
It would be nice if he did something like, sorry, just got out of the shower. Yeah. Something like that would be great.
I agree.
And that's kind of the happy medium I think we're looking for.
It would be the happy medium. And he's the first to text me all the time. Not all the time, but like enough where we're still keeping conversation going. I've very rarely ever shoot a text first.
Let me ask you this. Do you need him to text you back faster?
Do I need a man? No.
But that's
you want a man.
But that's my point is you don't need him to text you back faster. So why are you putting such an emphasis on wanting him to text you back faster?
I think kind of resting in the unknown because I've been realizing we've talked for almost like 2 months now. Uh-huh. And being in that unknown for 2 months is kind of brutal. He has a game out here in November. Like, I'll see him then. But it's really hard to not feel special during those times of waiting.
I think it would be a mistake for you to put all your eggs in this basket, personally.
Mm-hmm. I don't oppose that either.
I think that you shouldn't, this goes back to kind of what we were talking about earlier. You shouldn't like try to force something to come of this. If something comes of it, awesome. But if nothing does, that's perfectly fine then because you're just gonna be able to move on anyways. Like don't try and force something that isn't there.
Well, I'm still dating other people. So okay. I'm not like, good. This
but you
is
want
my husband.
Someone who makes you feel like you are their number one priority.
Yeah.
And a professional athlete, that may not even be possible.
And I do accept that I'm fine being your like number three, your number four, your number five. I actually don't mind that because I understand that lifestyle where you're like, my coach technically kind of goes first. You have to report to the coach first. And then, you know, like your family, depending on where you are in your relationship.
He should be number two, I think, behind.
Well, if she's like his coach. Wife or something, maybe.
Maybe, that's true. Know.
Yeah, I got to wait for wife status for that. Like your family should go before
he
me.
He might be seeing other people as well.
I don't think so.
Is
I'm
that,
okay
is
if he
is.
Is
that your ego saying that? Or
no,
do you actually believe that?
I just think like this kid literally has no time.
Okay.
As of right now, because they're in camp.
Right.
But I wouldn't mind if he was dating other people. I really wouldn't.
Hmm.
That doesn't make me like,
what is it about
jealous.
This guy that you like so much more than the other people that you're dating?
I like that he's like confidence. Like he can command a room if we were going back to the beginning.
You probably like that he's less available than the other guys that you're dating.
Maybe. And I do agree with that. But my work's not super. I don't really have a lot of time in my day either to be like, let's go do this or we can take a weekend off. Like I have to send work on Sundays.
Right. But you're typically the one that's hard to reach and get a hold of. And now someone is more difficult than you are in that sense. And you find it attractive.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Wow. Dean. Okay, but here's my main question. Okay, so going back to texting.
Okay.
So again, I don't really text him first ever, but he had a game. So I said, I'll be sweet. Then I realized I sent it and they're 3 hours ahead for this game. So he was on the field by the time he got this.
Ooh.
The loss could be in my bad luck for him not seeing this. So I said, good luck on your game. a heart emoji.
Ooh. Good luck on your game is kind of a cute, girly text.
What color heart?
Because it's not how people talk.
You're right. I agree with Mark.
Go get him, Tiger.
Go get him, Tiger.
It was a purple heart emoji.
Hey, that's my favorite color, purple
neutral.
Heart. Well, I always go purple heart, too.
Oh, why?
It's just my favorite color.
Do you think that there's different interpretations between the yellow, the blue, the purple, the red?
I do. I think that a red heart is pretty pretty lazy. It's just like a friendly, like, heart. Here's a heart, you know?
You think red is friendly?
I think it's just like the most commonly accepted heart color. And so
you don't
it has,
think it's like love, passion, overstepping.
It's the color that you associate with hearts. And because of that, it has not as much meaning as the others.
Wow.
A personalized heart, you went out of your way to choose a different color heart besides the red one. Like, I always send purple hearts because purple is my color. You know what I mean? If you send a color heart that's different than the red one, that means that you're going the extra mile to share a little bit more about yourself than just a red heart.
See, I think of like flowers when I think of the emojis. Like, yellow's friendly.
Right.
Red's passionate. Mm. Like, you bring yellow flowers to your grandmother.
Sure.
You'd bring red to your girlfriend.
So you chose purple to kind of de-romanticize it a bit.
Yes, but apparently I made it more romantic.
I think you did.
Good thing I didn't send this to you. Okay, so then Friday at 12 a.m. So it's 2 his time, 12 my time. Haven't heard from him in 8 hours. He goes, thanks. We lost. I didn't play. We just landed and got cell service again.
Okay.
Lots of periods.
Uh-huh.
Thanks, we lost, period.
He's probably
upset. I didn't play, period.
He's probably upset.
We just landed and got cell service again. I panicked. I didn't even respond. Yeah. Was that wrong?
Did you think he's mad?
I just felt like I didn't really know. Well, first of all, it is hard when somebody doesn't say, like, thanks for reaching out or something at the end to make you feel like, okay, you want to engage in this conversation.
I don't like this. I think that you're an athlete, obviously. You played at UCLA. He is trying to make an NFL roster. He didn't play in the game. In a game that's pretty like crucial for him to be able to make that
it's
roster.
It's preseason. Yeah. It's actually really not
but
that
But here's
important.
The thing. He's not guaranteed. No one's ever guaranteed a roster spot in the NFL. And especially this guy. Like, I'm sure
he's definitely on the roster.
I would not say definitely.
No, he definitely
is. If he's
is.
Not playing in the third preseason game that's of the NFL really, season, it's the most important game of the season.
Dean is right. And I get these grumpy that he didn't play in the third game of the preseason.
He's upset. Like, I'm not saying like it's your responsibility to console him, but you also shouldn't expect him to like have all these lovey-dovey, like open mind, like not open-minded, but like these long drawn out responses because he lost the game. He didn't play in a game that's kind of important for him to be able to make that roster like definitively. And he's just upset. Like, I don't think it's
the
really
starters playing the third game.
Yeah.
So what should I have responded or am I reading into the text wrong? Like, I think that was something of like, here's your facts. I do think it was nice that he's like, sorry, I just got service back from the plane. Like, I get that, but it wasn't thanks for wishing me good luck.
He's just grumpy. He's just grumpy.
He's not. I don't think he's going to go out of his way to carry on a conversation when he's in a headspace where he's disappointed.
And think of how tired he is after a game.
Well, he didn't play in the game.
Well, that's
so
true. I guess he's standing on the sidelines the whole time.
That's so sad.
I really think that's what it is. He's like, he's really disappointed in the fact that he didn't get a play, that they lost the game. And it's like, maybe he just doesn't want to talk. Like, you get in those modes where you don't want to talk to anyone. That's honestly what I interpreted it as.
So we all interpreted the same way, saying that he was grumpy and I really shouldn't have responded.
You definitely should have responded.
I definitely should have responded.
Yeah.
I thought about maybe like liking it as a message.
No. You don't want to fight his shortness with your own shortness. You also don't want to fight it with more openness. Just be like, that sucks. I'm sorry you guys lost. I hope you get some more playing time next week. Like, you guys are going to kill it. Like, something like that.
I don't know why that seems so bad to me. Like, when I hear that, I'm like,
I don't know why it does either, because it sounds perfect to me.
Because I think maybe I've been in this scenario where, you know, you got it next time, you'll get it. And you're like, no, like, the reality is, like, I'm not playing well and I don't need you to blow air up my bum to make me feel better.
So then ask him, be like, what's the deal? Why didn't you play? Why'd you guys lose? Like, ask him those questions.
That seems more gnarly. I don't know what my happy medium is, but I'm struggling with this whole, because also that's like his career. So I can't just be like, oh, you're fine. Because I know he's not, maybe, but I do know he's fine.
So then ask him to like open up about it. Maybe be like, why do you think you didn't get a play today or something like that? I don't know. I think that.
So it's been like 48 hours. So I don't think I can respond.
Right. And I think that you made the mistake by not responding. I'm going to go out on a limb and say that you messed up.
I messed up. Okay.
But you can still recover, of course.
Yeah, plenty of time.
How can
I recover?
I mean, text
I was
him
just
going
to wait until he responds back.
You could even text him now and be like, hey, look,
I'm talking about you on a podcast.
Not even that, but just be like, I hope you're feeling better since the last time we spoke. Like, how are things going now? Like, something like that. Like, simple. Just.
Oh, I actually kind of like that.
Thanks.
Wow. No, that was actually really good.
I'm lukewarm on it, honestly.
Okay, wait. Okay, this is good. This is good. Can you tell me?
No, I don't think you refer back to that night at all. I don't want to associate anything with that night. If it's new, it's just going to be, how's your day going? Have you seen this? Oh my gosh, I'm watching the show on Netflix. It's so great. New conversation.
Disagree. If they're just going to brush over it, what is that going to be indicative of their forever relationship? Yeah. Oh, hey, I'm going to be disappointed a couple times, but just so you know, ignore everything that I do and say during those times. No, like ask him to like open up about
she
it.
She missed her chance to ask him to open up about it. He's not even thinking about that anymore.
That's
it's 3 days later. You don't want to take him back to that dark place.
There's going to be a call to action in this next text that you sent to him, right? There's going to be, because you want a response. You want to invoke a response. The response isn't going to be about that last interaction, about the game, about his lack of playing time. Just say, hey, I hope things have gotten better. By the way, how are you? Like, what are you doing this week? The response is going to be about what he's doing now and how he's doing now, not about how disappointed he was 48 hours ago. Just acknowledge the fact that he was disappointed.
You don't know that for sure. You're reading into his text, which is going to annoy him.
Acknowledge the fact that he maybe wasn't the happiest person in the world by just saying something like, hopefully team morale is higher. I don't know. Something along those lines.
I don't like it.
Something along those lines. There needs to be some sort of...
You wouldn't like somebody reading into your text.
There needs to be some sort of address to that other thing.
We don't know that he was
before
grumpy.
Before we can move on.
We're assuming
he
was grumpy.
We didn't know he was grumpy.
It might have been fine.
If you're building a bridge, you can't stop building a bridge here and then just go on to the next pillar without building a road across it first. We got to get from here to there somehow.
Okay, fine, but I don't think you acknowledge his grumpiness, which is alleged.
Don't say, hey, I know you were grumpy, how are you now?
But you can't say, hey, I hope you're feeling better.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Say like,
because then I'm assuming.
Did you watch the game?
I couldn't because it's preseason.
Right, and they don't air it?
They don't air it.
Maybe look at Pilots and be like, damn, number 94 sucked. You would have done way better than him. By the way, what's going on?
I feel way less great about this. Because it is an ego thing on my behalf. I don't really want to be the person who's texted you twice.
But he texted you back last. You didn't respond to it.
You left him on red.
Yeah. Now he's not going to text
but
you back.
But he didn't engage in, hopefully your night went better or
dude,
something.
You're overthinking
I'm down
so
with
much.
Waiting for him to text you.
No,
I am.
Okay. No.
I just wanted to get somebody who's on my side. So, Mark, yes, I agree with you.
There's nothing urgent happening here. There's no reason to text him.
Do you want to talk to him? Like, do you want to know how he's doing? Are you interested in what his day is looking like?
I don't know why I'm getting so stressed out about like talking to him. So sometimes I'm like, yeah, that's fine. I could see myself just like moving on. But then I also think that's just like my ego and then like the pride thing of letting down walls, actually admitting to having like somewhat feelings attached to that.
I don't want to be a jerk and repeat myself, but I'm going to be a jerk and repeat myself. Do you want to know how his days are going?
Yeah.
Are you interested?
So yes.
Then text him and say, how is your day going?
I'm fine with that.
But I've gone 2 days without knowing how his day is going. So I'm kind of like, I get Team Mark where he says...
It's Monday. Be like, hey, I hope you had a great weekend.
But he didn't have a great weekend.
I hope.
Well, I don't know.
He might have. That was Friday night, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He might have had a great weekend.
Hope you had a good weekend in Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, man. That was...
Want to watch Bachelor in Paradise together on FaceTime tonight?
Yeah. What do you guys think of this situation? If you guys want to weigh in, give us an email at isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. Are you Team Dean? Are you Team Tori? Team Mark? Easton hasn't said much. Are you his side? You just want to sit back, relax, and not say anything. We want to hear your thoughts. Email us, isuckatdating@iheartmedia.com. Do we want to do one listener email before
we... I do have one from Madison here. I've been dating a guy for 3 months and we hadn't yet defined it, but knew we were taking it slow and headed toward a relationship. This is is exactly what we've been talking about. Last week, however, we talked and he said that he feels something might be missing for us to take that step to DTR, define the relationship, and he wants to take a break. I was devastated. His reasoning is sometimes he doesn't appreciate something until it's gone. What are your opinions on taking a break?
Probably not a good sign.
No, I think he's not into this.
No.
I'm sorry, Madison. He's not feeling this. He can't say, when you try to define the relationship and he says, yeah, let's define it as us not being together because I don't appreciate things till they're gone. That's a cop out in a big way.
He's probably talking to someone else. He wants to feel no guilt about that. He wants to see if that can progress and escalate faster than what they're doing. Yeah, that's a pretty shady thing to be doing.
You don't take a break after 3 months.
I rarely relate to this guy. I kind of get it. I mean, I think it's selfish to say, hey, I only miss something when it's gone. But sometimes you really need to be like, I need to take a step away from this and see if this is something that I still think about you? Mm. Do I still want to hear about your day and text you about that? Do I still want to be engaged? Sometimes you take a step back.
I don't know. I agree with Mark. I don't think it's necessarily a good sign for Madison here.
you might as well take the step back now before you're a year in and he needs a break. Sure. I figure it out.
I think you move on. If this guy comes a call in a month from now and saying, I missed you so much, you can evaluate at that point. But I think mentally you need to be done with this.
Yeah. How long would you guys say a break can last up until before expiring?
2 weeks.
I'll go with that. No more than a month.
I'd say a month max.
Easton's been quiet all episode.
2 weeks. Yeah. Short. Okay.
So it's 2 weeks.
Are you allowed to date people in between breaks?
Well, so this is what I was going to say for Madison. Take obviously you're not going to fight for this. If he wants to take a break, don't like be like, no, like let's stay together. Take the break. Don't focus on him and his and your relationship with him. Date other people.
Because he's going to.
Yeah, 100%. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Use this time to actually like decide for yourself, even if he's worth staying around and date and continuing to date, in my opinion. It sucks. She said she was devastated. But yeah, like 3 months is a long time. If you have gotten to the 3 month mark, it's 90 days, and you still are like uncertain and you want to take a break, it's because you want to explore other options.
I mean, 3 months is a good time to evaluate things. It's a good little, you know.
3 months is usually marker. The time, right, where you're saying either we're going to not continue dating or we're going to become boyfriend, girlfriend.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But what does a break mean?
I think a break is thinking, I've spent a lot of time with you. Do I want to keep spending time with you?
And if he's not sure, that's not a good sign.
Advice for Madison, take the break. Don't fight it. Go on dates with other people. If you continue to think about him, maybe let him know that. Maybe he'll continue to think about you too, and maybe you guys can come back together. I would not bet on that happening, but I would encourage you to date other people.
Hey, how would you like to meet Dean at a baseball game in San Francisco?
I don't know who would ever want to do that.
Has that been a dream of yours since you were a little girl? Well, the Giants are playing the Padres on August 29th. That's this
Wednesday. Thursday.
That's this Thursday, everybody. Thursday. He's going to be there along with Vanessa.
Hey.
And Becca and Tanya from Scrubbing In with Becca and Tanya.
All my favorite girls.
That's right. The meet and greet's happening at Oracle Park in San Francisco, but you need a ticket to the game in order to get to where the meet and greet is happening at the Alaska Airlines club level in the flight deck, and it's in left field. Anyway, it's 5:30 on Thursday. Mm. This is not an official Giants event, so game tickets don't include a giveaway item or food beverage. I don't know. That's a disclaimer, I guess. Get your tickets at groupmatics.events/scrubbing. Mm-hmm. Okay. This isn't scrubbing.
This is a Becca and Tanya event. I'm just tagging along.
groupmatics.events/scrubbing, and you can get the baseball ticket and meet Dean and Tanya and
Can
Becca.
You spell groupmatics for our listeners, please?
Sure. GROUP. It has your group right there. And then MATICS, groupmatics.events/scrubbing. Mm. Watch baseball. Enjoy Becca, Tanya, Dean, and Vanessa.
I'll probably put a swipe up on my Instagram story to make it a little bit easier. Groupmatics is a weird website.
But I've been to it, and it's fantastic.
Oh.
It'll get you exactly what you're looking for.
Great.
Are you going to wear your Angels jersey with Unglert on the back of it?
I don't think I'm allowed to.
I think you could.
Who are they playing?
They're playing the Padres, but they're National League Angels or American League. You're fine if you wear that.
I'm probably wear like a Broncos jersey or something.
That's even weirder, I think.
I do have a Giants jersey, so I'll be.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, because we're there, I'll probably wear the Giants jersey.
That's a good call.
My best friend is a Giants fan, so he's like giving me a couple of his jerseys.
Does it say Unglert on the back of it?
It does not. I think it's actually playerless. It just is one of those generic, like it'll stand the test of time.
I respect it.
Yeah.
Not good.
Are you going, Mark?
I'm not going. Couple reasons. The main reason is I was not invited. Also, this weekend, Labor Day weekend, I'm going out of town with my family. But no one asked me to go to San Francisco.
Nice. Yeah. Well, thanks for you're going to be missed. Your presence will be missed.
I would love to go. It sounds awesome, actually.
Tori, you're going.
Yes, I am.
Great. So if you're listening to this and you see Tori there on Thursday, please give your advice on what she should do with her NFL player boyfriend.
But like, actually.
Anyways, enjoy Bachelor in Paradise. Tomorrow night, which will be Chris and Crystal's wedding, we're going to see some new arrivals. And I feel like I've done pretty well for myself in Paradise up until this point, not to toot my own horn. Tori's shaking her head over here. If I self-deprecate, she hates it. If I toot my own horn, she hates it. Well, there's no winning over here. True. Anyways, for the first time this season, at least from my perspective, I believe I will receive a lot of scrutiny on the internet. And if you feel like I'm being an idiot, please feel free to tweet me and let me know how much of an idiot I'm being, because I need to know. And I think that'll be good content or a good ability for me to learn and grow from, and good content for the podcast at Giants Stadium. Anyways, big thank you to our sponsors, of course. Big thank you to Sleep Number and Legacy Box. Big thank you, of course, to Tori for sharing her dating story. with a sports player on a team that is unknown, on a position that is unknown, because she prefers to keep it anonymous. Big thank you to Mark, Easton, and of course, Danielle. So we're going to talk to you next week, but we will be talking to you from San Francisco. So be sure to tune in then, where maybe we will suck a little bit less.
Follow Help by Suck at Dating with Dean, Vanessa, and Jared on iHeartRadio or wherever you listen to podcasts.